Go
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the LFC Red Poets podcast. I'm your host, Les Lawson, and tonight I'm joined by Tom Keegan and Jay Riley when we give our reaction to the news that Michael Edwards is likely to return to Liverpool in an executive capacity and Richard Hughes is likely to be appointed as technical director. So, Jay, I'll go to you first, if you don't mind. I noticed when David Ormsteen broke the news earlier tonight, you sort of said, yo, this is a really good thing for Liverpool Football Club. So give us your initial reaction, please, mate.
Well, look, it's been obvious for quite a while now that we've wanted talks with Michael Edwards again about maybe putting a proposal to him to bring him back on board, because obviously he'd done really good things, didn't he, at his time at Liverpool before he left and what have you. So, you know, I think it's sort of like, it's big news when someone like David Ornstein, and I mean, even Paul Joyce put stuff out there himself, didn't he, last night about it as well. And when these type of journalists sort of like run stories on things, you normally know that there's some substance behind it. But I'd sort of like got wind of the fact that we were really keen on this Richard Hughes to be the sporting director. Now, the thing is, he was an ex-footballer, wasn't he? He played for Portsmouth, if I remember rightly. And he's done good things at Bournemouth. And let's be honest, they're not a massive club the way Liverpool are. But, you know, he's highly regarded. I mean, I don't know a lot about him in what he's done at Bournemouth, but apparently he's highly regarded and he gets on really well with Michael Edwards. So when all the whispers were coming out about this Richard Hughes, it did seem a little bit of a strange one, but it all adds up now because he's meant to be a friend of Michael Edwards and it makes sense with the new structure that's meant to be getting implemented with Richard Hughes being the sporting director and Michael Edwards basically being operational manager overseeing and everything. The other thing that I've also heard is there's potential for them to have a minority stake in FSG as well, and that's one of the things they've tried to do to entice him back at the club, because what you've got to realise is, you know, he left Liverpool and he's successful in business anyway, so he's moved on to bigger and better things in his eyes. So there needed to be something big to entice him back to the football club, and you know, maybe this is the deal breaker, and I'm sure things will come out over the next couple of days and weeks about what the proposal actually is, but there is meant to be a percentage stake there that he's being offered by FSG.
That's interesting, that, isn't it, Tom? The length that FSG are prepared to go to get him back on board. And I think that, you know, to have somebody like Michael Edwards, you know, leading the hunt for Jürgen's successor, and not only Jürgen's successor, but you know, the whole of his coaching staff are leaving as well. So, you know, if we've got somebody there who FSG have got confidence in, and the vast majority of the supporters have got confidence in to lead the recruitment campaign, if you want to call it that, then it's got to be good news, hasn't it, Tom?
Yeah, I think you've got to look at the bigger picture. I don't think no one really ever wanted him to go, really, did he, Les? And I think when the changeover come, they all went, you know, like we found that we were losing like three or four members, and they all went together. So there's been we've been like sort of going from like pillar to post, haven't we? Sort of putting people in short-term contracts, whereas now, and Jürgen taking more control. But now it seems that, you know, when Jürgen announced that he was going and everybody was going in the back room, that it was time for a, you know, like a complete new clean sweep. And I suppose Michael Edwards, that's when he probably started to sound him out to get him back on board, you know, because as Jay said there, he's well known, he's done fantastic things at the club. The supporters love him. You know, like he's exceptional at what he does. And so for him to come back to start the process, it's not just it's a new chapter in Liverpool's history. Nobody's ever going to replace Jürgen Klopp, but this is the, you know, what we're doing. This is what we're looking forward to the next 5-10 years. So hopefully, you know, Richard Hughes and Michael Edwards are the start of, and the new manager will be the start of something big for the club.
Yeah, it is a really good move by FSG, isn't it? Because when you look at all the speculation over the past sort of few months since Michael Edwards has left, you know, he's been linked with all the major clubs. You know, if you believe the speculation, Chelsea wanted him, Newcastle wanted him, Manchester United wanted him. And all of a sudden, you know, once Jürgen decided that he was going to leave us at the end of the season, which we're all devastated about, you know, there was a big gap there to fill, wasn't it? On, you know, who was going to handle the recruitment to bring in a new manager. And I think that, you know, with Michael Edwards now coming on board, as seems likely to lead that, you know, recruitment drive, if you want to call it that, you know, it's something that, you know, the fans will have confidence in him. And, you know, obviously, you know, Xabi Alonso is the odds-on favourite. But, you know, should it not be Xabi, then for one reason or another, then whoever Michael Edwards then sort of chooses anyway, you know, he'd have the sort of support of the fans, wouldn't he? Think, well, if Michael Edwards has picked this guy, you know, he must be up to the mark.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that everyone wants Xabi Alonso to be the next Liverpool manager, and that's the one thing, isn't it? I mean, obviously, everyone's heartbroken that Jürgen's going to leave the club, but all good things come to an end, don't they? And ultimately, we've just got to get on with it, and he needs to be replaced. And, you know, Xabi Alonso is the type of person that will, he's sort of like unite the fan base, won't he? He'll bring everyone together because everyone's in a little bit of a state of shock, really, first and foremost with Jürgen, but obviously like sad as well because, you know, Liverpool have won a lot of trophies under him, but we should really have won a few more. And everyone's like, you know, it's all the uncertainty of everything now, who is going to replace him. And there's no real obvious candidates out there. You know, I certainly wouldn't be looking at any of the experienced ones. So you've got to look at someone like Alonso, who's like been a legend of the football club anyway. He's been successful when he was a player. He won a European Cup, do you know what I mean? And he's proved himself a little bit now at, like, you know, like Leverkusen, like a lesser club. He's gone into the Bundesliga there and it looks like he's going to win that title against the giants of Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund. And, you know, when you think about it, yeah, it would be a little bit of a, you know, it's definitely an element of risk because of his inexperience, but you know, he's the type of person that you could just tell he's got an unbelievable football and IQ. You know, he did as a player and some of the managers that he's worked under, I mean, he's worked under like Guardiola even, hasn't he? You know, he's worked under Ancelotti, he's worked under Mourinho, he's worked under Benitez. So you would have thought he'd have been able to pick the brains of them unbelievable managers over the years to, you know, sort of like integrate what he's got now, his knowledge himself anyway, as a brilliant footballer, but also now as he's proven as a coach and a football manager. And look, he's the obvious one, isn't he? Because every single Liverpool fan you speak to, regardless of even if they've got like a little bit of apprehension because he's like, you know, he is inexperienced. The facts are everyone wants him because, and they'd be prepared to give him like the time of day and give him however long it takes to get things right at the football club. And, you know, there's no one else that you can say is an obvious candidate. I mean, people are going on about the Zerbi. People are going on about other managers in the Premier League. And then also there's this fella that's at Sporting Lisbon who I don't know too much about, even though his team seems to play a decent brand of football. But the reality of it is you wouldn't be happy with anyone else other than Xabi Alonso. Now, it's very interesting, isn't it, that like the German media seem to be spinning it that, you know, Bayern Munich really want him. And of course, they're obviously going to be threats, aren't they, to get him because, you know, he played for them for like three or four seasons, didn't he? So similar to the time that he had when he was at Liverpool. So he has got a close affinity to that club as well. But I just think, like, when you think about things now, we've known, FSG have known that Klopp was leaving since November, December time. So when you think about it, Liverpool have supposedly already tried to speak to his agent about, you know, potentially being the next Liverpool manager. Back then, you know, like on the hush-hush type of thing, being respectful to Leverkusen as well, didn't want it out in the open and like dragged through the media. And Bayern Munich now, when he just decided to get rid of Tuchel, and all of a sudden they think they're getting Alonso. So it just seems a bit funny to me, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Tom, but it does give you confidence, doesn't it, now that Michael Edwards seems to be coming back on board. That, you know, with him leading the sort of negotiations, not only for Alonso, but, you know, for his any backroom staff that he wants to bring in. And there's also, you know, people like Virgil, Trent, you know, Ibu as well, you know, got, you know, the contract sort of running down, you know, and Mo Salah, of course. So with, you know, with Michael Edwards there, you've got a bit more confidence now that those situations will be resolved sort of quite quickly once he takes over. Because, you know, with all due respect to George Schmacker, although he did a reasonable job in the summer, you know, the fact that Michael Edwards has got this track record with us, it gives people a little bit more confidence in him, doesn't it, than they would have had George Schmacker being given like a 3-year contract in the summer. And all of a sudden, with all due respect to George, you know, he was now in charge of the new contracts and the recruitment of a new manager.
Yeah, you couldn't really see that. That was only a short-term deal, that list, wasn't it? You could never see that, and especially as Jürgen announced he was going. I don't think he was ever going to be in the frame, to be fair. I think, like Jay said, I think tentative talks must have, since they've known in November, I can't believe Liverpool would not have made some form of contact with Xabi Alonso, to be honest. And along the way, now they don't appear to be. I think one thing you can say about FSG, and you know, they don't appear to leave everything to the last minute and just sort of panic. Do you know, it's everything they do, they seem to prepare well for. Do you know what I mean? So I think everything is more or less in place. And once we find out the role that Michael Edwards has been given, and then, you know, and then he can start to get on with his job. It was always going to be find the sporting director, bring in the technical director, and then look for the manager. And I think that was what the plan was, wasn't it? To get it done by the middle of March and to have the manager announced by the end of March. And I think now that Michael Edwards comes in and takes over, and as you say, he's got the goodwill of the supporters. And I think what Jay made a great point there. I think the thing with Alonso, if it is to be Xabi Alonso, although, you know, like the other, they seem to be talking about, you'll know his name better than that, my sport in Lisbon, Anaron or something, isn't it?
Amarin.
And so he seems to have a really good track record. So I think, as you say, it's a slight risk whoever comes in because they're young. But with the likes of Xabi Alonso, he's going to get time. Liverpool supporters are not like other supporters. They're not going to be standing there screaming after if it took him a little bit of time to settle in. You know what I mean? So I think it's the first thing first is to get the two in place. And I think that'll be fantastic for the club. It'll give the club a boost. And then we can sort of move on to the next stage of rebuilding the managership and coaching staff.
I tell you what, Jay, it's a really different role now. But when Michael Edwards was first here, you know, and he sort of got the sporting director's job, it was all about, wasn't it, building a team, you know, under Jürgen Klopp that would get Liverpool challenging for the major honours again. And not only did we do that, but we actually won them. You know, we've basically won, you know, every trophy that's possible, you know, under Jürgen Klopp. And Michael Edwards helped put a lot of the vast majority of the bricks in place for that team to be built. Now, you know, if he comes in, as we expect over the next few weeks, aside from appointing a new manager, you know, and while I'm saying now the Twitter seems a very positive place with his, you know, with the reaction to him possibly coming back, you know, then, you know, if they're expecting 5 or 6 new signings in the summer, they might be a bit disappointed, because when you look at the squad and, you know, the amount of, you know, quality young players that we've got coming through, as well as the, you know, the lack of, let us say, non-homegrown players the spaces we've got in the squad, I can't see there being much business being done in the summer unless a couple of players leave unexpectedly.
Well, I think, like, you know, what you've got to analyse is with Michael Edwards, he's been very shrewd, hasn't he, over the years? And you think about some of the clubs we've come up against, the amount of money that they've spent on players. You know, we call them the 115ers now, like, but, you know, Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea, you know, they spend massive amounts of money. And they try and, like, throw it back at us and say, well, you just bought the most expensive goalkeeper, you bought the most expensive centre half, and this, that, and you're there. But what people are forgetting to realise is Liverpool balanced the books a lot better than they did. Liverpool sold Philip Coutinho for a silly amount of money, which basically funded a couple of them transfers, if you want to, like, sort of, like, balance the books type of thing. So he's been very shrewd in the transfer market, and it's not about, like, I think now the good thing about it is as well, FFP seems to be working better now than ever before. And the reason why I say that is because you see what's gone on with Everton, you see what's going on with Nottingham Forest, you see what's going on with City, to be honest, even though nothing's happened to them yet, they haven't been charged, but ultimately they've still got 115 charges to answer to, haven't they? And there's a big court case going on about it. You'd even look at Chelsea now, the way they went about things, you know, they spent that much money in a short period of time that they couldn't really do much about it, could they, in January time, when they've been struggling this season. And, like, there's talk that they have to sell an English player or something, because something to do with they'll end up being fined or something, or they might even get dropped points if they don't sell players by a certain date in the summer. So I think FFP's working better than ever before, and obviously Liverpool and not the filthy rich club that some of these other clubs are. So it's better to have someone on board who knows the time of day with things like that, like Michael Edwards. And also, by all accounts, he gets on really well with this Richard Hughes. So it's like more of a structured thing that Liverpool are looking at than other clubs. And what you've got to analyse as well is the fact that, yeah, of course, Liverpool are not going to be spending silly amounts of money the way the other clubs do. You know, it's always like self-sustainability, you know, it's self-sufficiency is what they've always said, the motto of FSG, isn't it? And that's one of the things that I think they want to bring this fella on board, because, you know, he's proven that he can do it in the past. Now, I know that he loves to tap into the South American, you know, like, pool for players. And there was times, like, when he was at the club where basically he got vetoed on a couple of players. And it sort of, like, caused a little bit of friction, you know, at the club and the hierarchy and all that. So maybe Liverpool will tap into that market a little bit more, you know, like, as we see, you know, the seasons ahead. But as I say, this is all hearsay at the moment, because, you know, he hasn't, you know, put pen to paper yet. He hasn't come on board, but it is looking good that he's going to be, you know, he's going to get the job. And then obviously, like, Richard Hughes is going to be the sporting director and the structure's going to be in place. But of course, you know, let's get real about it. Liverpool are not going to go out and start suddenly spending silly amounts of money or anything like that. It's more about, like, him being shrewd and knowing the time of day with recruiting these new players. He's going to be head of, like, all the recruitment and the analytics and all that, you know what I mean? So, you know, it can only be a good thing, because everyone speaks highly of him who's had dealings with him at the club, you know, certainly at the high levels and all that. So, you know, it's obvious that Liverpool and FSG have been desperate to get him back on board. And as I said to you before, you know, there is the talk that they've offered them a small minority stake in FSG. Whether that's true, I'm not sure. I'm sure all will be revealed in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Jay, just before I go to Tom, I'm just thinking then, as you were saying about, you know, shrewd signings in the transfer market. I think the last time you were on, we were previewing the season, and me and you were laxing lyrical about how we needed to go out and sign Concedo, and, you know, we knew he wasn't going to come, and then all of a sudden, I had a sleepless Thursday night, you know, waiting for the news to break that we'd agreed the deal, finally fell asleep, woke up on the Friday morning to find out that, you know, we'd agreed the deal with Brighton for Concedo. I felt like a kid on Christmas Day for the first time for many, many years, thinking, wow, you know, we're spending all this money on Casado. And who would have thought, hey, after all, after my sleepless night and us both waxing lyrical about Casado, that we'd go out and that deal would fall through, because he ultimately wanted to go to the billion-pound blue bottlers, what Gary Neville called them. And we'd end up getting a £16 million Japanese warrior who none of us had really heard of, who's coming and done a fantastic job.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was absolutely shocked that Liverpool had offered that sum of money anyway for any player, really, let alone like Cassado. But to be fair, I still think he's obviously a good player. It's just that he hasn't really settled yet at Chelsea. It's a shame with Enzo Fernandez. You know, that club's toxic. It's as simple as that. But they're still good players. And that's what I was slightly wary of going into the Carabao Cup final because I thought, you know, it's a one-off game in a cup final, a big stage. Like, they could have just turned it on that, you know, on that occasion because they are good footballers. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, something's not right at that club. And it's obviously had a knock-on effect to their form. But let's be honest, Enzo's been an incredible signing. I mean, he struggled at first, but any new signing, it takes time to adapt, doesn't it? And to be fair, when he got his opportunity in the December time, my God, he's never looked back, has he? He's been absolutely outstanding. He's been integral, really. And, you know, you're gutted if he's not playing because you need him in the side. And it's allowed McAllister to flourish a little bit more as well and be a little bit more creative and what have you. So, you know, for £16 million, you know, this is a shrewd signing without Michael Edwards. But let's get real about it. We made plenty of really shrewd signings whilst he was at the club. And that sort of like filtered down and carried on and continues really in his absence. But it can do no harm with getting him back on board because he was the brains behind the operation, wasn't he? And like, you know, look, it shows you how well he was thought of at the club because FSG are doing everything they can now to get him back on board with this new structure in place. And if they're prepared to give him a stake in the well, I don't know whether it's in Liverpool or FSG themselves, you know, ultimately that says a lot, doesn't it? How much they're trying to entice him back to the football club. But look, you know, another thing that was worrying me a little bit going into the final was, remember when we opened the new Anfield Road stand and Klopp came out to address the spectators, you know, the fans that were there that night, and he said, didn't he, about like he tried to sign players and he ended up joining Chelsea, and he never actually mentioned any names, and he went, but it didn't turn out too badly, did it? You know, obviously because we ended up with Enzo and Gravenberch, and I just thought to myself, I hope that doesn't come back to haunt us, you know, in the final in case Sado ends up being man of the match. But it didn't matter in the end, did it? Because we ended up winning the final, and quite rightly so. But this is the thing. It's like, you know, of course, we all would have loved to have signed Casado, but it hasn't really worked out for him this season at Chelsea. And Liverpool have ended up signing a £16 million Japanese fella, and he's been absolutely outstanding for us. And we haven't looked back, have we? So, you know, here we are. They know more than us as fans, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
They do, mate, and you know, everything you said there is absolutely spot on. I'm sure you'd agree with that, Tom, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
you know, with what you said.
I think Endo's been, he's been a revelation. Isn't it funny that the first words Jürgen Klopp said, "We want your heart and your lungs," didn't he? And you know, my God, he certainly give both of them things to the club since he's been here. You know, like he certainly right in as soon as from the first game, you couldn't. I think he found it a little bit difficult when he first come with the pace of the game, as you would expect coming from the German league. And I think he struggled a little bit. But as he found his feet and found his place in the team as well, and the players have got used to him, you can see that there's a good player in there, a really good player in there. And you know what? He's worth his weight in gold, isn't he, in the midfield, and especially at the moment where we've been stretched to the limits, he stepped up, as McAllister, as Harvey Elliott as well, to be fair to the lad, you know. And so yeah, I think I totally agree. I think the shrewd signing made the shrewd signings continue. I wouldn't complain too much if we sign someone of the quality of Mo Salah for 34 million when he comes back, you know what I mean? He turned out he's not too bad, and Sadio Mane as well, you know, two brilliant signings. So yeah, hopefully it all bears fruit, and we end up with Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes next week or the week after, you know.
Yeah, so Jay, just to close on this little bit, so really positive news coming out of Liverpool from David Ornstein tonight that, you know, Michael Edwards and Richard Hughes are really closer to coming to Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously a positive move, isn't it? You know, I hadn't really thought too much too deeply into it because trying to concentrate onto the season really, but you know, with knowing Klopp's going, And we want this, you know, in place before we sort of like get the new manager on board for next season, then it's obviously vitally important, isn't it? And look, it does make sense, doesn't it? He's been here before at the club. You know, all the fans love him. Everyone wants him back. So it's an absolute no-brainer. It didn't seem like he was interested in returning to football in general, really. I mean, I believe Manchester United tried to get him, even Newcastle as well. You know, obviously when they got their influx of money, like the Saudi money and stuff, before they got Dan Ashworth from Brighton, who ironically is now going to end up going to Manchester United, isn't he? But, you know, as I say, they've obviously tried to, they really, really want them. They've laid the cards on the table. And if it is through a buy, you know, the minority stake in FSG, it just shows you how much they really want them back at the football club and to run the operations and all that, you know, to see the new structure and try and get, like, obviously the new manager on board. So we've had to act quick because ultimately we're in March time now and we need to sort of like get the ball rolling, don't we, if we want Xabi Alonso, certainly, because the frighteners are probably put on us now on FSG with the fact that Bayern Munich are looking for a new manager as well. And they've identified Alonso. So we have to get a move on, really. And hopefully, fingers crossed, this gets done pretty soon.
Yeah, Tom, really positive news, isn't it, that this could happen over there? Well, they said maybe early next week, but certainly within the next sort of couple of weeks, you would hope that this would all be confirmed. So we can then sort of have our structure in place and then start to get the new manager and the coaching staff sorted.
It needs to be done, doesn't it, Les, as quickly as possible. I think, like he was saying earlier on, I think somebody had quoted that. You know, I think it was Hogan who wrote a piece saying they hope to be making an announcements mid-March and then hopefully, you know, announcements with the manager towards the end of March. And I think that's what they've more or less done, haven't they? Especially with the story. If it's being leaked as it is at the moment, there must be some truth, real truth in it. So you'd expect that once they've done the main negotiations, it's only the announcements to come, isn't it? So hopefully it'll be done by the end of next week. And that'll be a fantastic, that'll be a first step to rebuilding the club after Jürgen, which is going to be like a nightmare, but you know what? At least we're doing something positive, aren't we?
Yeah. So it'll be a miss of me without, as you weren't on the pod last night, Tom, and I've got Jay on tonight. Not to ask you quickly about your thoughts on the 115ers coming to town on Sunday. So I'll start with you, Tom, on this one. What would you expect? I'll ask you two things really. If Ibu was fit, obviously you would have him alongside Virgil. What would the rest of your defence be if them two were fit? And the other question is, if Ibu isn't fit, who would you play at centre-half alongside Virgil? And would you start Mo?
George, do you know what? I think that's a good, really good question. If Ibu's fit, which I'm hoping, the noises coming out of Anfield by Jürgen and by Ibu himself, it doesn't sound like he's too bad, but we'll wait until the results of the scan before we make, you know, that assumption. If he is fit, I think, do you know what? I love Conor Bradley and I think he's brilliant going forward, but I'd be tempted to play Gomez at right back if he's fit, and I'd play Robbo at left back and Big Verge and Canate if they're fit. If not, I suppose you'll probably go with Joe Gomez at centre-back and bring Conor Bradley in. Would I start Mo? Do you know what? Yeah, I probably would. Do you know? And I'd start Szoboszlai as well, Les, if he's you know, like fit to play with Endo and McAllister. But I think it seems pretty cruel, but I think I'd move Gakpo and put Mo in, to be honest. And I fancy Jay, Liverpool to win 2-0.
Okay. Jay, what are your thoughts on the same questions I just asked Tom?
I don't think Canati's going to be ready, myself. I mean, I know he said, didn't he, after the match, oh, he was hopeful that he'd be okay. And, you know, he thought it was the right decision to come off when he did. But, you know, when you pull up sharply like that and you go down, that's a sign of a muscle injury. That. So to me, I just don't think with the game pretty much, well, it's only 2 days' time now, isn't it? But obviously it was 3 days from the game. I just think it's too short notice, really, for something like that. We won't take any risks with him. It's a massive shame because, in my opinion, he should have gone off at half-time the same way as Joe Gomez did. Stupid, really, keeping him on because we were 3-0 up. The game was over and pretty much the tie was over. So, foolish, really. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So, we've got to get on with it, I'm afraid. But looking at the defence now, if you look back to the game last season when we beat them 1-0 at Anfield, Joe Gomez actually played centre-half that day. And I just think maybe he'll play centre-half again on Sunday and Conor Bradley will come in at right-back. The other option, obviously, is Kwanzaa playing centre-half as well and Gomez being right-back. But, I mean, I think Kwanzaa's done really well. He's obviously saved us a few quid in the transfer market, but in all honesty, I just don't know whether the game might be a little bit too big for him. You know, coming up against Haaland as well. You know, I know Virgil will try and pocket him, but ultimately, I just think the game might be a little bit too much for Kwanzaa. And people might say the same about Conor Bradley, but to me, I think Conor Bradley's a little bit more fearless than Kwanzaa. And also, we probably need his width really down that right hand side because, to me, I think it'd be very risky starting Salah. You know, when you've got to analyse, yeah, he's a very fit footballer, but he's not really played much football or even trained for 6 weeks since he's had that injury, you know, with Egypt and the African nations. And, you know, he only really played for, like, what, 15 minutes in Prague. And, you know, even, like, when Szoboszlai come off the bench, didn't he, against Forest at the weekend, he was still on the bench again, wasn't he, in Prague? So I think they like to sort of be a bit cautious, bringing them back. And the last thing we need is for them to break down again the way he did against Brentford. So it's just frustrating, really. But I just can't see him starting the game. I think he's more likely to come off the bench, with that, you know, on about the hour mark, maybe play the last half an hour. I mean, he could start it and play an hour and get taken off, but I think it might go the other way, myself, and it's going to be a high-intensity game. You know, Man City are probably the only team that Liverpool come up against where we don't have the lion's share of possession. They have more of the ball than us, so it's just a high-intensity game, and someone who's carrying a little bit of an injury might not be 100% match fit. I just don't think it's going to be very wise to start him. I know he's an X-factor player. He's a world-class player, but it's just my views on it. I just don't think Klopp will take the risk myself. I think he'll be on the bench and maybe, like, I think Szoboszlai might start this game. So the midfield could be fairly strong with Enzo and McAllister as well. And then up front, I just think it'll have to be Elliot, Nunes and Diaz. And yeah, you know, hopefully, like, it's we can be able to get the result that we need, and we need the fans on side. We need the atmosphere to be absolutely electric, be a bear pit. You know, everything has to be like, you know, we all have to be acting like the 12th man. There's no doubt about that. You know, because I don't think City are quite as good as what they were last season. I think it's sort of like, you know, Liverpool this season, because all the big transformation and the rebuild and a totally transformed midfield. I mean, as I say there, the three midfielders that I've just said that should start at the weekend are all new to the club, aren't they, this season? So it is a big transformation, and I think Liverpool have sort of like over-exceeded expectations this season. I don't think people thought we'd be challenging for the title this season, but we actually genuinely are. And I think Man City have had a little bit of a drop off, but I still think they're a very good side, and it's going to be a very difficult game. And, you know, look, we want to win the game, of course we do, especially with it being at Anfield. It'd be a massive statement to make, but I just think we've got, like, maybe one or two few too many injuries. I mean, Keller has done brilliant in goal, but the facts are Alisson's still the best goalkeeper in the world. We're obviously going to be missing Trent. We're going to be missing Jones in the middle of the park, who, you know, people like a little bit on the fence about him, but the facts are he keeps the ball really well. His ball retention skills are unbelievable, and he's not half grown and developed this season for me. We're missing Jota, obviously, as well. There's four key players. And also, you know, the facts that I've just pointed out there about Salah and Szoboszlai maybe not being 100% fully match fit. So, and Canati being out as well. So Liverpool have got plenty of injury issues going into this game. It's going to be really difficult. And look, Of course, I want us to win, but I think I'm going to sit on the fence and get splintered. I think it might be a draw. But the thing is, that's not the end of the world, because if it was a draw, Liverpool would still be a point above City going into the last 10 games of the season. The only concern then would be that Arsenal would likely be top on goal difference. Do you see what I mean? But the thing is, the way I look at that is Arsenal have got to go to Man City away and still got to go to Tottenham for the North London Derby away as well. So they've got tough fixtures coming up, Arsenal. So I think a draw wouldn't be the end of the world, and that's what I'll go for. I'll go for a Desmond 2-2.
Okay. On that note, I'd like to thank Tom and Jay for joining me tonight on this special edition of the LFC Red Poets podcast. So as I always finish by saying, justice for the 97, you'll never walk alone. And don't bite the sun. Until next time, see you soon.